But today is VE Day. The war is over.
The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The worldwide web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hello, and welcome to The Advice Show from CityWire, where we dig into the ideas, insights, and industry shakeups driving the world of financial planning. My guest this week is Fiona Oliver, the managing partner of Partners Wealth Management. Fiona, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So Fiona, Partners Wealth Management, you're a London headquartered firm, LMA Top 100, owned by 7IM. Can you give us a quick run through about the history of the business, you know, how you came to be and how you define yourselves now? Yeah.
So we're an independent practice, first and foremost, and we have been going over 20 years. And we are now quite a significant size business, independent wealth manager. We've got about 6.3 billion of assets under management, 100 advisors, and we're sort of originated in London. And our DNA, which I think you know, Jack, was really about looking after professionals in the city. So giving them the very best independent financial advice to try and help guide them towards their financial freedom. So that's the core of the business. And that really is still there today. We've grown organically over 20 something years with fantastic growth rates of sort of double digits every year, mostly over 15%. And only a couple of years ago did we start a different strategy, which was our inorganic growth strategy, where we started to acquire other businesses that we thought were very like-minded to PWM. And we've now got sort of presence in Midlands and Scotland through those activities.
Great. And Fiona, obviously, so you've been there 10 years now?
Yeah, it'll be my 10th year in November. Yes, yes. The longest I've been anywhere. Yeah.
Great. And 2.5 years ago, you took over as managing partner from James Roberts.
Yeah.
Talk us through that process, the kind of handover, you know, what's it meant for the business and how it's been?
Yeah, it's been really great, actually. I mean, I had the privilege of working alongside the founders of PWM since I joined. So I joined PWM on the board sort of 9 and a bit years ago and worked with the four principals in the business. So James, David, Tim and Andrew. And I predominantly worked really, really closely with James over the years. And the mission was really to help grow the business. So I was really focused on helping grow the business in an organic fashion over many years. But I had the privilege of sitting alongside James and David over quite a long period of time and really increasing my skills on how to run a business as well as sort of working on a business. And so by the time the handover came, I think we'd done a lot of the hard work already. I knew the ins and outs of most things. But I think it does focus the mind when you take over the SMF1 responsibility from someone. That isn't without thought. It's not without consequence. And decision making becomes weightier. But I think I'd had the privilege of sitting alongside for quite a while. So I think I was probably ready by the time came. And I was very lucky that, for example, David Stoll still remains in the business. And he was my principal counsel once James was no longer there. On any difficult decisions, I'd always go to him.
Right. And if we go a bit further back, kind of 6 years back, obviously 7IM came and took over the business. And as we were just mentioning, so we were about to run the story. This was in March 2020 on the deal. But obviously this is the height of COVID. So can you tell us what happened here?
Yeah, I mean, the deal sort of got put in abeyance. I think it was peculiar times. And, you know, what simply happened was there was a decision taken for it not to go ahead.
Yeah. But this is just before lockdown.
It is just as lockdown had actually started. I think it was just 1 or 2 days after. It's a bit of a blur. 1 or 2 days after lockdown had started. So not only are you worrying about, you know, sort of loved ones. I remember saying goodbye to people at the office, wondering if I'd ever see them again. And then the deal doesn't happen. So it was quite a peculiar time. But we just did the typical PWM thing. We dug deep. We worked hard. We recognised, as we always do, clients come first, keep motoring, and if this deal's meant to be, it'll happen. And then it did at the end of the year. So we were sort of well rewarded for our diligence and our client focus, I think, in the end, Jack.
Yeah. Interesting. It must have been a very kind of stressful time, I guess.
It was stressful, but I think in those times, actually, you do what you do, don't you? You just recognise that, you know, what's really important is that you really look after your clients. And I think in times of trauma or instability, you tend to revert back to what you know. And the thing you know is that the really important thing is to look after your advisors, look after your staff, look after your clients. And if you do that, it'll be okay. Good distraction work was, I think, at the time. Yeah.
I can imagine. And then if we look further forward,
yeah.
So next April, something obviously massive is going to happen to financial planning, which is IHT on pensions.
Yeah.
I think you recently launched an IHT campaign to helping your clients get like to grips with this and understand it.
Yeah, we have. I think it's really important. There's points, I think, that when you look back on your career, you'll remember this seems like it's going to be one of them. And we've taken a decision, I think, to really embrace most of our client events and our client activity this year around that, so that we want to feel no stones left unturned. No client doesn't really understand the impact of doing nothing, because typically we're all quite good at doing nothing unless people really make it clear what the implications of that are. We've just run, interestingly, last week, Jack, I won't do this again, we ran 3 client seminars in 24 hours in different locations. I was quite tired on Friday. And
well, virtually or in person?
In person. So we ran 3 in person. So 1 in the Midlands and 2 in London across 24 hours. The same 3 of us spoke at the events. And what we were trying to do is make clients understand the implication of doing nothing and explaining to them perhaps some of the changes, things like the burdens on personal representatives that we think will take place, explain to them the impact, the actual impact on a case study of someone dying, you know, before, you know, March next year and May next year, what the impact on the estate is.
In terms of how much IHT they'll pay.
Correct. And the impact of the pension coming into that estate, and the audible gasps in the room when we presented those slides, were very clear that people were quite astonished when we really put it in pounds, shilling and pence on a simple estate.
It's like hundreds of thousands of pounds.
It was over $500,000 on the particular estate we ran, yeah. So I think it's important people understand that. And then if that's important to them and they feel that that's something they want to deal with, then to try to work out what are we going to do about it.
And I mean, how much financial plans are changing your clients? Are you having advisors going into to clients and just changing everything?
I don't think changing everything, but I think the, people typically hadn't touched pensions. They've been such a fantastic tool, hadn't they, for estate planning for so many years that people had typically thought, well, I'll never use, a lot of people would say, I won't use that, or I'll use that last, be my sort of last resort. And we were saying to people, how could you mitigate? Well, you could spend it. That's a novel idea, isn't it? But, people find it, not everybody, but we do have some clients who conversely find it difficult to spend.
Yeah.
Just really trying to talk them through, what are the things they could do? What we didn't do is provide any advice. We said that the key is really you need to sit down with your advisor and go through what's right for you. Every circumstance is different. My view is that for most people, if we look at across our clientele, most of them are professional people who've accrued their own wealth. Therefore, pensions, most people will have a pension, which is quite significant. Therefore, most people will have to certainly revisit a financial plan. It's certainly a time we're all going to be busy, Jack, isn't it? I think.
What percentage of your client base are going to be affected by it, do you think?
I think most, I would say. Definitely over 75% of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, your advisors are not going to be short of things to do then.
No, the government keeps quite busy, I think, don't they? Yeah, in a good way.
Yeah. And I mean, because we were looking at this paper from HMRC yesterday, and there's just so much complexity with it in terms of responsibilities for personal representatives, kind of interaction with schemes, working out valuations. I mean, there's a lot of complexity to it, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think it's really hard. I think most people, we asked the audience at the seminars, again, how many people have been a personal representative before, and people put their hands up. And I think often when you agree to do these things, there's often a bit of duty, and you do it out of goodwill. But perhaps in truth, most of us don't realise what we're getting ourselves into and the complexity of something that we might have to manage, particularly in contentious family scenarios. It's quite difficult. And I think the role of the personal representative is getting harder and harder, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, actually, I think HMRC even referenced advisors helping personal representatives in terms of the process, which you can see being a kind of a good thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it will be hard for people to, if you're a layperson, it will be difficult for you to work out, how you would apportion, the tax bill and those sort of, that's quite burdensome, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if we look at kind of the history of like wealth management recently, I mean, you've had RDR, pension freedoms. I mean, would you kind of class it within that kind of camp?
I think so. It feels like that to me. You know, certainly, it's certainly a moment in time, isn't it, where, you know, I think it's always good to review your financial plans. Now, nearly all clients we will see on a more frequent basis than annually. Now, some people will speak to every month, some people will speak to twice a year, but this feels like a point in time where you just need to lift the lid off and reappraise what you're doing and whether your strategy has hitherto worked for you, but going forward, it might not be, you know, it might require resetting.
And Fiona, if we look at partners, PWM, in terms of the business.
Yeah.
So investment proposition wise, I think you guys have got a panel of DFMs.
Yeah.
I've got on my notes. W1M, Rathbones, Quilter Cheviot, Cazenove, RBC, Down. Is that right?
Yeah, so we've done something quite interesting, actually. One of the changes we've made back end of last year is we've always used asset risk consultants to help support us in our due diligence on deciding who are the right investment managers for our clients. We very rarely, we are proudly independent, so we very rarely would put all our assets with one manager. In effect, why would you? And we've had a few things that we hold dear to. One of them is we always say we typically split assets across, not always, but at least three managers. And we always say we're looking for good, better, best performance. That's what we're looking for. And what we've simply tried to do is take all the intelligence from across PWM and then the businesses we've bought to say, how could we run money most effectively for clients? So we've put together an investment oversight committee. So that's new. And we've got representatives from each of the businesses we've acquired, as well as some of the people who've been instrumental over the years in helping us design the process in London.
So but, fund managers, are they kind of?
No, they're all financial planners.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all financial planners. And what we've done is set up an investment oversight committee. We're taking all the input from ARC and we are then looking at it across a number of lenses. So we'll be looking at across all the managers in terms of volatility, price, performance, and then coming up. We've come up with what we call partner portfolios. So we've tried to take the top performing managers in each of those areas in our sector and put together three or four managers that if we put those together, they're complementary. So there could be some active, some passive. And then what we've tried to do is reach out to the investment managers to ask them where we have a significant amount of our portfolios with them, to ask them to reduce their fees and then to pass that back to the client. So it's been quite a big undertaking for us. We've launched those this year.
How's the process been of... Were they helpful?
The managers?
Yeah.
They've been super supportive. And, you know, you hope in life when you ask people to help you in those situations, you hope that you can return that help with more business.
Yeah.
And that has been fantastic to see. In the first few months this year, we launched, it was probably the end of January by the time we got going, that, you know, one of the most important things to me is to measure that we are seeing, you know, more assets going towards them, given that they've been so supportive in their pricing. And I was really keen that that revenue didn't come back into the business as a rebate. It went directly back out to clients. And I think it's over £1 million across our client base that will, in annual management charges, will be, the rebates to the clients.
What kind of fee reductions in bips were you seeing?
It's varied across the managers. It would be a bit unfair to reveal, but it's been varied. But it has been, they've been very supportive. They've been long-term, a lot of these people have been long-term partners of PWM. They've been very supportive for us over the years as we've grown. And in a way, the beneficiary of our hard work, they have benefited from that because, you know, we've been growing and they've symbiotically been growing. And I think it's been well received.
Great. And obviously one of those managers is the owner of the business.
That's
right.
Yep.
How is that relationship in terms of, how do you manage the kind of the because obviously there's a conflict there in terms of recommending the DFM. How do you manage that?
Yeah, so it's been quite straightforward, really. In terms of the investment piece, they have to stand on their own two feet. It has to be has to arrive by merit rather than any other reason. In fact, I almost think it's harder for them because of the name above the door.
Yeah.
So the advisors would almost their staunch independence would say, I would only use it if it qualified. Almost anybody else would be better. So I think you find that they've had to stand on their own two feet. Their performance has been strong. The volatility has been, you know, everything has aligned. So it's been quite straightforward. But our role as the investment oversight committee is to continue to review that, Jack.
And then if we look at your tech stack, can you talk us through what this looks like? What platforms are you using, and back office and IT systems?
So kind of some significant changes ahead, but I'll just say where we are now. In terms of the platform we use is 7IM. So I think you remember before even we were part of the 7IM family, we'd moved to 7IM. We were previously with Benchmark, so we moved to 7IM. And that's been a strong move. So we've got over half of all our assets on the platform, but we've got a lot of assets still out with DFM. So that may have been the client has a need to have a direct to DFM relationship. We won't unsettle that. Why would we, if that's appropriate for the client?
So clients are the DFM's custodian in those cases. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got, and then we've got people who are, we're mostly running money on platform where we're splitting it across our partner portfolios. So we use 7IM. Where we can't use 7IM, maybe where we've got an international desk, so they may use Morningstar. So sometimes. And then if there is any other reason that we might use a particular different platform, then we would, the advisors can still do that. They just need to request, the reasons why they need to do that. So that's the sort of platform. PWM itself is still, we're still running on the Enable platform, which
is the benchmark back office. Yeah.
And as of this year, later this year, we will, likely move. So the rest of the...
to your own system or to a new system?
No. So for example, if you look at Eastcote Wealth Management, who are our Midlands-based business, and then PWM Scotland, so formerly Johnson Carmichael Wealth, they're all X-Plan family. So I feel that's the direction of travel, Jack. So that's going to be quite a big change for us, but I think a necessary one.
Why would it be necessary?
Well, I think just in order for us to look at sort of some of the processing and then to be able to be, where we need to get to is that we want to be able to process work wherever it is. If there's capacity in Inverness, then why wouldn't we get the work done there? At the moment, it's really difficult to move work around in an agile fashion because, we're on different systems. So the integration's poor there, but we need to get to, to that point.
Yeah. And AI?
Yeah, AI. I think it's quite an exciting... I mean, it's an exciting time, isn't it? I definitely feel that we're in a good spot. We are not a small firm and we are not a really big firm. And in that mid space, I think that we have the opportunity perhaps to experiment with AI. We've got a really strong... because of the platform technology in 7IM, there's some really strong tech experience in there. And so we have created, there's been a volunteer system. If people are interested in AI, they can go and use the sandbox and go and create things. So in PWM, we've got a small group who have voluntarily put their hands up and they are doing some really interesting things for us, experimenting with AI to see how that could help us. So one of the things they're looking at is at the moment they've taken a fact find and then they've taken a suitability report and they're trying to get AI to find the discrepancies. So there's some just really neat things that I think we need to do. That's just an example. Yeah, but I think it will change significantly the way we work over the years ahead. I think PWM's always been a firm that we've always had tech at the forefront of our minds. If you think of our clientele, these are busy professionals. They want to be able to, as well as see an advisor, self-serve. So they want to be able to at night look at their own wealth on an app. We've always been at the forefront of that. I think we will be really...
And the 7IM relationship's been part of that as well.
Correct. And it's been really beneficial for us in that sense. So, we very much, when we were moving to the 7IM platform, one of the things we used to show clients was the 7 Imagine app and say, look, this is what you can have. And it captivates people because it's easy to understand. And again, I think AI will just drive us forward. We're looking at it in lots of different avenues. Why wouldn't we? To make sure, at the end of the day, if you think about the time it takes from the client coming in the door and then the advice being written, it's quite slow, even if we're as fast as we can be. And if AI can speed that up, then why on earth wouldn't we, adopt and use it? And clients will be expecting us to.
And do you think that your planners will be able to start serving more clients? Or
yeah, we were talking about that today. I think there's lots of things, isn't there? Definitely. I think people will be able to serve more clients. We could, look after sort of greater number of family members. There are definitely some productivity gains.
Right. And then if you look at the firm as well, something else that you recently did was a client service survey with NMG, a consultancy firm. Can you talk us through what they did and what they found?
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. We, you know, surveyed a number of clients. They came back. We scored really highly in all areas. There's a few things probably to draw out of it. 95% of the clients said they were satisfied with the service that PWM gave, and that particularly related to financial planning. So that's really good, because I think that was the differentiator for me, that perhaps against some of the other people in the survey, we led with financial planning.
As opposed to like investment management,
correct,
or performance,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that tells me that sharp pointy end of speaking to the client and finding out what's important to them, their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, their fears. If you understand those things, actually, you're probably, and you can map your advice to that, you are all the better for it. So that came out really strongly. 95% of people said that they felt, you know, we were really strong in that, and they were extremely satisfied. Our net promoter score was really high. So that was 72%. If you compare it even to people like Google and Apple, they're in the low 60s. So that was really high. It was really satisfying. But there's a few things that I really liked. It was some of the phrases that came out of it. There's three things that came out. One was the cash flow modelling. That's the thing that clients really value. It's the, what does it mean to me? Brings it home. So that was really great. The other one was really nice, actually. It said that we were sensitive to clients' needs. And I think that's really important. There'll be, you know, through a client's life and journey, there'll be times when things don't go right for them. You know, it could be bereavement, it could be redundancy, it could be divorce. And all those things, you know, are difficult for clients to get through. If we can be supportive and sensitive, I feel really passionate about that, and I think that's really great. And the last one was the phrase investment independence matters. So again, I thought, you know, I kind of feel vindicated that we're so staunchly proud of our independence.
Yeah, but I mean, these consultants, was there anything they found that they said, like, kind of, you can improve on
this? Of course,
this?
Yeah, of course there was. So the one thing that clients said is they felt our comms could be better. So
in
not
what respect?
Not from the advisor necessarily, but more from the firm. Mm-hmm. And so we've done a few things. There was some commentary that we weren't always timely. And the other thing was that, for example, perhaps that sometimes I think maybe a bit jargon made things a little bit complex, you know. And so we've done a number of things. We have tried to be more timely in our correspondence. So you'll understand as a journalist, it's quite hard though. You write something, you go home, you think you'll submit it the next day. And by the time the next day has arrived, you have to start again. So, but what we've been trying to do is get from sort of flash to bang things out in 24 hours, written through compliance and then out to clients. And that's been hard work. But, and again, back office systems are all different.
Yeah.
That makes it hard too. So once we all come to the same system, that will be easier. But I think we've worked really hard at that. And so being really timely, so Trump tariffs, we were there late at night trying to get the information out to clients. And the other is just trying to take the jargon down, making it simpler, but not dumbing it down, but just making it accessible to more people. And we had some really good feedback recently from a client who's in the space of PR and comms and has worked in government. So I think really understands, and he's a client, and he said how favourable he thought the pieces we'd been writing were over the last month. So I feel pleased we've made some progress.
Well, he would know, I'm sure they would know in terms of what good comms looks like.
I think so.
Great, Fiona. And I'm also going to pick out something else you said in your top 100 entry. You said that we are proud that no partner in the business has left to a competitor to only to retire. How have you managed to do that?
I think by being a really great place to work. So most people join us with the view of becoming a partner, and that's always been the way.
So they'll get an equity stake, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. They start to build a stake in the practice. We've had, I think, 3 or 4 people now retire, and that's been quite a smooth process. We've got better and better at that. Jack, when I started, we hadn't had anyone retire. We've now got better. We understand what we need to do. And the key, again, is making sure all the clients stay. So, you know, quite a long, slow handover process. Almost the client doesn't realise it's happening by the time the outgoing advisor is going. I think that's really important. I think it's two things, really. Having a really great proposition for advisors, and I think we do, we pride ourselves on that. Having really great service to clients, and then trying not to move clients around. So, you know, that's certainly, I think, a challenge. And clients feel normally quite close to their advisor, don't they? And if you move them about from advisor to advisor, I think clients find that really difficult. So we try only where there's a reason to move clients about, but many of those relationships will have been with clients over You know, I spoke to clients last week at the event. Some of them have known their advisors for 20 or 30 years, some of them less. But you're looking to try and retain advisors and clients. And I think that's utopia. So and you've got to make it a place people want to be.
Great, Fionn. Well, I think on that note, I think that's almost all we've got time for. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you very much for listening.
But today is VE Day. The boys
the newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing
landed.
Down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.